Well, good morning again, everybody. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to John, the 13th chapter. And while you're doing that, and before we rejoin the journey, I just would like for us to just have a brief moment of prayer. There's just something kind of heavy on my heart this morning. And when you use that word, it means a lot of different things. Just some concerns I have. And one of them is that there are sometimes the things that are going on in our lives, they're so small, if you will, compared to other things. They're so manageable in that we think that we're probably going to crest this hill, we're going to get over this hump, that we don't tend to really bring a lot of attention to them because we tend to think that they're small. There's other things that are so overwhelming that we don't even know where to begin. You don't know how to share. And a lot of times it never meets, never gets on a prayer list, or it never gets mentioned to another person, sometimes because of personal consideration, or sometimes because you just don't know how to share something that devastating, if you will, or maybe the title isn't something that you really want to share with somebody else. There's a whole lot of prayer that never gets prayed because of those extremes. And it's not that the little things in the middle, if you will call them little, are not no big deal. You know, they're all over the thing. But I just want to remind you that whatever's going on in your life is important to God. And today, I know of a couple of things in some lives that are here in the church and in other places that, you know what, it just would be imperative that we just take a moment and pray for these things. Urgent circumstances that are going in people's lives, they are desperately needing to hear God speak clearly and definitively into their life to give them direction in some cases, to rescue them in other cases, to somehow see them through this unbelievable circumstances they would have never, ever dreamed would be a part of their lives or their family lives. Anybody ever been there? Yeah. You don't grab the phone and you call people because you don't know how to share this. But isn't it nice when somebody is able to say, listen, you don't have to say a word. The cool thing is that we don't have to inform God of anything. We just need to include God in everything. Amen? Would you help me do that? Would you just bow your heads with me and close your eyes? Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, I join with everyone in this congregation right now to ask you to do the very thing that we don't know how to even ask you to do. We know the title. We understand the circumstance. But God, forgive us when we minimize it as no big deal compared to other people's problems. Forgive us when it's so overwhelming that we don't know anything to do but just draw in the ranks and hold it close to ourselves. And we never even give it to you in many ways. So, Father, I just pray that all across this place, regardless of what the need is, regardless of what the title is, we just know that this moment is urgent for some people. They just needed to know that God was going to remind them that He is very, very aware of their circumstances, and He has come today to minister to them, to bless them, to give them guidance, to rescue them, give them provision, to let them know that there is a future out there, and you're a part of it. So I pray today, Father, meet all of these needs. They fall under so many different categories, so many different titles, but there's only one God that can meet them all, and that is you. Thank you for being that kind of God. Thank you for being that God. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, hey, welcome back to the journey. When we show that video, I think of this guy running down the street, and he's breaking a sweat, and I just kind of see this struggle as to, you know, will this thing ever really make sense? And hopefully through the journey that we've been on together, that things are starting to link up. Hopefully some of you have seen this thing chronologically as you've never seen it before. You've just seen these isolated incidences in Jesus' life and these occurrences. And now they're beginning to stack up and make sense because they're lining up with this journey, if you will, of discipleship. And let me remind you, that's what this is all about, being followers of Christ. And taking ourselves, once again, disciplining our imagination and placing us not as observers, but participators. Not watching this happen to somebody else, but putting us right in the middle of all this. And this journey has been compelling. I mean, you know, we left it all to follow Jesus, and we've heard incredible preaching and unbelievable compassion with the woman at the well. We've seen food multiplied and Jesus walk on the water. And last week, he just gave us incredible explanation of this prayer that we've heard forever and forever and forever. And today, we see something different. The tables are turned. We see a role reversal that we never, ever saw coming. It is Jesus washing the feet of the disciples. Now, I know this is impossible to do, but at the same time, you have to participate on this level. That you're not watching these 12 men on a movie screen having their feet washed, but that you're in the room, you're one of the disciples, and any minute Jesus is going to leave the guy next to you and come to you and kneel before you, and with this basin of water and with this towel, he is going to wash your feet. And when he looks up into your eyes, everything changes. Everything changes. This isn't just an act of hospitality anymore. This is the Savior literally just pouring into your life. So join me in John the 13th chapter, verses 1 through 16. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, he rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he had girded. And then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." But Jesus answered him and said, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." And Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you." For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, "You are not all clean." So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, sat down again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, 'Well, for I am, sir, so I am.' If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who has sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." So in this setting, everything is as it should be. The disciples are in this room, and they are sharing the Passover meal with Jesus. Now remember, they've walked with him for 3 years now. It's over 3 years they've been with him. They've seen him through all of these things. And on that night, he would instruct them about what we today call Holy Communion. And this was going to be literally just matters of hours before he would be betrayed by Judas and be arrested in the garden. Now, here's where you need to throw yourself back into the picture again. He knew that, but we didn't. We're sitting around the table. We're getting instruction. We're following him as usual. And he knew exactly what was going to go on the next couple of hours, but we didn't. We weren't anticipating any of this. Is it no shock that Peter later on says, "You know, I'll die for you." And Jesus says, "No, I'm afraid that this night before the rooster crows, that you're going to deny me three times." That never was on Peter's plate whatsoever. So on top of that, Luke reminds us that they are disputing who will be the greatest among them. Oh, really, Jesus? I mean, you know, let's stop and think about it. I mean, who's the most valuable to you? Who's given the greatest contribution? Who's the person who really needs to be, you know, those kinds of things. Those kind of arguments are going. But then Jesus rises from the table. And he finds a towel, and he gets a bowl and water, and he goes and he washes the feet of every one of them. And then he says, "Do you know what I have done to you?" Here the teacher is now serving the student. Let's go back to the rabbi image that we have. A rabbi has these followers. He's teaching, pouring into them. After 3 years, they should almost be able to replicate what he has done, literally imitate anything that he has done. But in this case, it was no longer the person who has taught them to serve and to honor and respect, because once they become students and really kind of graduate, if you will, they're supposed to serve in the temple. And now they become the most important. Now they are starting to look for students, and now people are going to serve them and follow them. But here's the rabbi who turns everything around. That's why we call this the tables are turned. And he begins to serve the students. It's like Robert Glasgow says, he has become a parable in action. Because he is a living example. You know, isn't it cool when you may not know exactly what to do and you've heard all the instructions and you know what the end product is supposed to be, but until you see somebody do it, you're still a little fuzzy. But once you see somebody do something, you're going, "I can do that," because they've given you an example. And that's exactly what Jesus said. And like many other times, he's broken the mold all over again. And this is not the way it should be. It shouldn't be that he's serving them. He should be the one that is being served. But you know, that was never his attitude. Never his attitude. Let me share with you what it says in Matthew, the 20th chapter. Whoever desires to become great among you, Jesus said, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. And he gave this example through something we call foot washing. Now, it was very common in that culture, but it's just unheard of here. We just don't even know what that's like. Now, I've heard churches doing foot washing. Okay, so let's be honest. How many of you have been to those foot washings? You see, now, I want to be real careful. This is not a comment of humor or whatever. But aside from that, and the spiritual emphasis that that church probably had in a private setting, that is just the weirdest thing I've ever seen. I mean, really, it's just weird. When I heard they did that, I'm going, what in the world is that all about? Removed from Christ and removed from this story, you're just thinking, those people are crazy. And I remember, you know, you used to know when a foot wash was going to happen, because then you didn't use pantyhose. I'm just sorry, I've heard this, I've gleaned this. I don't know this, I've never been a woman, don't ever plan on being one. But I understand, if you're going to go to a foot wash and you have pantyhose on, you can't get your feet washed, okay? Guys, just take your shoes, boots, you know, socks off, and you're good to go. You know, I just understand this thing. Now, the cool thing about it is many of you have a wonderful, wonderful memory of that, because it wasn't just some weird ritual that you did at church. It really was exactly what Jesus designed it to be. It was an example again. It was serving one another. It was very common in that culture. It's unheard of in our culture. I don't know what you compare it to in our culture. I really don't. And I'll tell you why. Because our culture is so self-serving that we really don't know how to serve other people as a culture. Literally, as a culture, I mean, we know how to be nice. We know how to be hospitable. We know how to open doors for people. We know how to help a little bit. But you know what? Most of it, there's nothing that is really intrinsic in our culture right now above any other time. We're more selfish than we have ever been in our entire lives in a culture. But back then, it was very common. You see, everybody walked everywhere they went, and they probably had sandals on at best, if not barefoot. They had dirt roads everywhere they went. So you know what? Foot washing back then was a courtesy. It was a step of hospitality. This is where you honored your guests. And when they came into your home, you always offered to wash their feet. Now, if you were fluent enough and you could, you had either a servant or a slave that would do that. Or if that wouldn't happen, then you'd have one of the women or one of the children to do that. You know why? Because it was degrading to a Jewish man to have to wash somebody else's feet. Now, we understand that this was a mark of honor, that you would offer this to somebody else as they came into your house. But it was also a breach of hospitality if you didn't do so. Now, there's no way I can drum up this picture for you and I, because we don't live in that culture. But can you imagine right now, okay, just go ahead, get your imagination going there, holding somebody's dirty feet in your hands. Some of you people have feet fetish. I know there's some of you in here, you're bound to be that you can't even touch somebody's foot. You're just freaked out by that, okay? I just know that you're like that. Some people are earlier. I don't know. It's just kind of strange. I remember a girl, you know, when we started having kids, I knew they'd be sick every now and then, but I said, no problem. I got a nurse for a wife. Really? They didn't train her how to handle vomit. She'd get to the door, take a whiff of that, and she'd start to barf herself. So I had to go in there, scarf all of that stuff up, and it's amazing. Some of us just have those things. But here's the deal. It was one of the most lowliest things that you could do. But it was also associated with hospitality and courtesy. It wasn't a let's dump on these people and make them do this job. Matter of fact, the person doing the washing, in many ways, was honored themselves because of what they were doing for somebody else. So what did the disciples experience at this point? Here they are following Jesus Christ. They've been in this thing for 3 years. I think they've seen a few things. I think by now they're getting out of their mind, even though they call him teacher and rabbi every now and then. He is the Messiah. I mean, this guy has done miracle after miracle. People have been healed by the dozens, by the hundreds, by the thousands. He's walked on water. So it's no longer, this is just another person, just another rabbi. This is the Messiah. And now he has turned around, and he is on his knees, if you will, and he has got your foot in his hand, and he is washing your feet. I believe what they were experiencing is shock. I think they couldn't believe it. I imagine they were completely surprised, astonished at best, they were experiencing the Messiah washing their feet. Now, there again, in that culture, let me put it back to perspective, okay? You have this one person over here as a guest. They just arrived at your home. You have the homeowner. It's right here. They're honored to keep you. But now you have this person, this servant, this slave, or whoever, to wash their feet. Where's the importance? Well, this person is honored because he has hosted you properly, so it makes him look good. This person is honored because you have offered to wash their feet. Where does it leave the person who's the servant? They're not even in the picture. They're just providing a service. That's the position that Jesus took on this occasion. No wonder they were shocked. And as he began to just go around and one by one, he literally washes their feet. They were all silent until Peter. And Peter says, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" And you know the discord, we just read it. And Jesus says, "Listen, what I am doing, you don't understand now, but you'll know after this." Hey, let me add to shock, love. They were experiencing the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me take you back to the very first verse. It says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." Loved them to the very end. Most of us will love people till it's convenient or inconvenient. Most of us will love people at a limited pace. But he said he loved them all the way to the end. Have you ever realized that you finally woke up one day to realize that the motivation behind everything that Jesus did was love? Everything he did out of love. Sure, we know it was his duty. We knew that he was sent by God, but he did it because he loved us. God so loved the world, and you know the rest of that. He did it because he was motivated by love. He loved these men. He loved them to the end. You know what? He loves you and me, too. He loves you and me, too. Let's bring you back into the picture. Let's put you at the table once again. This is Jesus not only setting an example for you to follow, but it's because he loves you. Hey, you know what? Get the art of foot washing down all you want. Get all the ins and outs. Learn exactly how to hold the towel, how to pour the water, how to get rid of the water. You know, all of that stuff. Get the positioning down, the procedure down, but don't lose the fact that this is all about loving other people. And that's exactly what he did. It was love that washed their feet. It was love that touched the leper. It was love that healed the sick. It was love that gave sight to the blind. It was love that said, "Lazarus, come forth." It was love that compelled him to even die on the cross for you and me. And don't forget, the death was also in the picture here. It was probably less than 24 hours that Jesus was going to die himself. Time is short. Well, let me ask you something. When you know you only have a certain amount of time left, what are you going to do? What are you going to say? What would be your last words? What would be the very last thing that you were going to do if you knew that you were no longer going to be here on planet Earth in 24 hours? Would you not draw everybody in close to you? I mean, this is the human reality. I'd draw everybody close to me. I'd try to get everything I could for me, for me, for me. I would try to get every last ounce I could. You know, I'd drink one last Dr. Pepper. I would go and get a Tippins French silk pie. You know, I mean, there's things that I want to taste one last time before I get out of here. You know, that's the way that we are. There's things that we want to do. You know what Jesus did? Jesus chose to humbly just reduce himself to a servant and love his disciples. Don't forget, he was about to be betrayed by Judas. He was going to be disowned by Peter and deserted by all of them. That records later on in Scripture. They all took off. You know, last November, when I fell out of the attic and I reached for my arm and I felt this bone sticking out of my arm, and my son was there, my daughter's father-in-law was there, and they were there to take care of me. But, you know, I just wonder how I would continue to treat them if on that day they just kind of wrapped me up, took me to the hospital, dropped me off, and said, "See ya." I wonder if I'd continue to think a lot about them, you know. I wonder if I continue to love them. I wonder how I would feel about them after I saw them in that circumstance. You know, there's a lot of us that people have played incredible roles in our life, but would you continue to love them and serve them if you knew in the very near future they were going to abandon you? Jesus Christ did just that. How would I treat you if you came to me tomorrow and said, "Pastor, you know what, thank you, you're a nice guy and everything, but you know what, we just don't like the church, and we don't like you, and I'm going to take my tithes and go down the road. I wonder how I would continue to treat you. Yeah, you know, that's tough, isn't it? How are we going to treat people after they've wounded us deeply, regardless of whether they did it irresponsibly, whether they did it ignorantly, whether they did it purposely? How are we going to continue to do it? I'm telling you, Jesus Christ was going to hear Peter say, I don't even know him. He told Judas, whatever you do, do quickly. And he was in the garden later on after he told Peter to put up the sword. And even though out of the Old Testament we hear it loud and clear all the time, we quote it all the time, we'll never leave you nor forsake you, boom, they were gone. I'm going to tell you what, he loved these guys. He served them. It never left the core of who he was and what he did. And he said, I'm doing this as an example to you. And I know we're imperfect people. I know that we don't always do it right. And how do you respond to that kind of love? How do you respond to that kind of love? Let me ask you something. Is loving and serving others on your bucket list? I mean, is it one of those things that you say, before I die, I want to make sure that I'm this kind of person? Because that's what Jesus was doing. What was he teaching all of us? What was he teaching his disciples? To simply serve one another. He said in the 14th chapter, if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who has sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Jesus wants to see us serving each other and serving others. This man who never asked anybody to do something that he wasn't willing to do himself is teaching his disciples to love and to serve one another. And he does it through extreme humility. He is just loud and clear saying, others before self. Now, when you say that with me, I know you hate it when preachers ask you to repeat stuff, but I just want you to hear you say those words come out of your mouth. Others before self. Now, that's not difficult in the context of this setting to believe and to be understood, and even energetically waiting for that opportunity. But when it comes out of nowhere, and when it approaches you, and when it presents itself, will we do that? Before others, before ourselves. Let me tell you four things that you're going to have to deal with if you're going to be a servant like this. The first thing is this, that serving begins with priority. It begins with being number one, not convenience, or not even being told, but it's priority. Because if it's not important to you, the people you're trying to serve won't be important to you. As a matter of fact, why did Jesus serve these disciples? Why is he asking us to serve others? It's not because hand washing has to be revived or foot washing needs to be the code of the day. It's because of what they are, not because of what you do for them. It's because of your love for them. I serve you because Jesus wants me to serve you because of who you are, not because of what you can offer to me. What am I supposed to do? And listen, I understand this is tough. This is tough. But if you're dangling money out there and saying, Pastor, I think I'll go down the road, it's going to be real tempting for me to just want to just kind of gravitate towards you and make you feel comfortable. But God says, you know what? I'm supposed to love you regardless of what's in your checkbook. And hopefully you'll love me regardless of my abilities in the pulpit. Because that's what this is all about. This is who we are. The second thing is this. Serving is a decision. It's a conscious, above-the-neck decision. From here up, it's not about heart. It's not about emotions. Man, didn't you just love the picture of that 9-year-old in Taiwan that Ferry was talking about? Didn't you just want to go, what can I do for that kid? Because here's all of his past and all this stuff. You just bring this is a living illustration. And that's cool and everything, but you know what? Sooner or later, it can't be because we've been moved. It can't be because we've been encouraged. It's got to be because we just made a decision that we're going to be people that serve. But trust me, you'll have to also look at this. Serving is a sacrifice. It's going to cost you something. That's what a sacrifice is. And most of the time, that's going to be measured more in time than it is money. It's going to be measured in what I have to do that's going to mess up my day. How is this going to alter everything that I do? But ultimately, it becomes an act. It's an action. Don't tell me, do it. Don't tell me you care. Show up. Don't tell me that you're going to pray for me. Pray with me. That's what it means to serve somebody else. Mother Teresa was visiting in Phoenix. This was 1989. I thought this was fascinating. She was at a home that was being built for the poor. There was a reporter there from KTAR. It was a big radio station at that time in Phoenix. And he asked her in a little private moment he had where they said, Mother Teresa, is there anything I can do for you? And he was expecting a contribution could be made, so and so. And she said, yes, find somebody that nobody else loves and love them. Find somebody that nobody else loves and love them. Wow, just wrap your arms around that just for a second. Is it a wonder that we wonder that this lady was just an incredible person? You see, the greatest threat to serving is pride. But the cure for pride is humility. And Jesus humbled himself and showed us how to serve and how to conquer pride by humbly serving these men by example. He didn't do it by instruction. He did it by example. I found this quote from Chuck Colson. It said, it's difficult to stand on a pedestal and wash the feet of people below you. Just stop with the physical positioning. If you're up here on a pedestal and there they are, their feet down there, it's pretty difficult to do that. And he said, that's not just the way it is at all. That's not the way to do it. I also found an interesting story about Dave Thomas. Yeah, he's the founder of Wendy's. And there was this guy who was interviewing him, and it says that he asked him, he said, Mr. Thomas, tell us about your wonderful success. He said, I attribute it all to my MBA. And the guy kind of chuckled because he said, oh, that's kind of interesting because I know you didn't have anything beyond a high school education. And he said, no. He said, well, let me tell you what my MBA is. It's not a master's of business administration. He said, it's my mop and bucket attitude. He said, every now and then what you got to do is you just got to get the mop and the bucket out and just decide that if a job's going to get done, you just got to get after it and do it. And I think it's a pretty good idea. And we should be like that too. Matthew 23:12 says this, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. You know, it kind of goes right along with actions speak louder than words. Jesus was teaching them to serve one another. So how does this change you and I today? What does this do for me and you? It simply makes serving a priority. Serving is a priority. You can't let it be a part of the mix. It can't be one of those things that I'll get around to it, but serving has to be a priority. Listen, foot washing is not about washing feet. It's about serving others at a great personal sacrifice. Let me tell you about your sacrifice. If you're going to serve people the way Jesus did, your ego's going to take a hit. Your ego's going to take a hit. Somebody might see that, and you're going to wonder if they're going to think less of you, if they're going to hang out with you, if they're going to continue to be your friends. It is something that is going to affect your schedule. Your schedule's going to get messed up. You're not going to be able to keep some appointments. You're not going to be there right on time because you know what? It's going to take you a little bit. You know what else? You're going to get dirty. You're going to get dirty. I don't mind serving as long as I don't get sweaty, as long as I don't have to get dirty, as long as I don't mess up my schedule, and it's not going to cost me anything. Well, everybody be serving if that's the way it was. But it's about humbly serving others, especially when you don't want to or you don't have to. Let me tell you what about our culture. Back then, foot washing was the norm. You know what the norm is today? Pay for it to get done. Pay for somebody else to do it. Pay for someone else to create that circumstance. You know, we get other people to do it because it's easier to write a check than it is to roll up our sleeves. And that's not the way it works. Can you imagine what it would have been like if Jesus had brought a servant that he had hired to come in there and wash the disciples' feet? Would that have affected them? No. It would have been just what everybody else did. And would Jesus have been honored? Would he have been seen as the humbling servant? Not at all. He would have never given them that example. He would have said, and the next time somebody needs their feet washed, you hire somebody. That's not the way he did it. You see, there's a life, there's a heart, and there's a story connected with every foot you wash and every person you serve. That's why Jesus did it, because there was a heart, there was a life, there was a story involved in every one of those men as he went around that table. So how should this change me? Make humbly serving others a priority. Take it off of the stack down here and put it back on top of the stack. Put it on, number one on your to-do list. Make it a priority so you'll do it every day. How do I do that, Pastor? Let me give you a couple of suggestions. How about listening when you don't have time to listen? You know what? Some people can take a 2-second conversation and turn it into a month. Yeah, you go ahead and chuckle because that was condensing it. Oh my gosh, you know, it's like if you don't want to know, don't ask. But if you don't care, don't ask. But if you care, ask. Sometimes you just have to listen, even though you don't have time to listen. How about including somebody in your lunch plans that you may not know? Are you ready? Everybody get ready. Cringe. Tighten up. Why don't you do it today? Why don't you find somebody in this congregation that you don't know, that maybe you've seen them, you don't know them, maybe you ought to just invite them to go to lunch with you today. Well, there we're getting into that sacrifice thing, aren't we? There we're getting into that, you're messing up my schedule. Well, I'm sorry. I hate to ruin your day. How about this, at least? Instead of the minute we say amen and you get out of here leaving, why don't you take a few seconds and just introduce yourself to somebody you've never met before? I know one thing, you'll never know them, you don't ever meet them. And if you don't ever know them, you can't ever meet their need. And they can't meet your need either. It makes your world smaller and theirs as well. Don't you agree? Yes, you agree, because I'm always right. At least while I'm up here. You know, here's the greatest thing that most of us just miss. We miss it all the time. Yeah, just be there. Just be there. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. Don't judge me by it. But I can't tell you how many times people have just gone on and on about a hospital visit. And the truth of the matter is, it took me 20 minutes to get there, and I spent less than 10 minutes in your room. But I've been in the hospital, too. And it took you a little time to get there. Maybe you didn't spend a whole lot of time. But you know what? You showed up. That meant a lot to me. It means a lot to a lot of people. You see, God has designed it, to our great surprise, for human flesh to love human flesh. For human flesh to be compassionate to human flesh. For human flesh to serve other human flesh. I know as imperfect as we are, God can use us to do some incredible things. Listen, there was only one other expression of humility and service and sacrifice that Jesus would do other than washing the feet for these disciples that would be greater than this moment. And it was when he humbled himself just hours later and died on the cross. Let me take you to Philippians, the second chapter. Paul writes, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, and that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, those on earth, and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." Let me ask you, have you bowed your knee to him lately? Have you confessed him as Lord with your lips? And even beyond that, have you followed his example of literally blessing others by serving them? Okay, let's go back to the table just for a second as we conclude. There you are. Jesus has literally got your foot in your hands today. Today, he's just showed up. He has just taken your foot into his hands to wash it. Will you be honored that the Lord of lords, the King of kings, the Prince of peace, the God of this universe, my Messiah, my Savior, my God and King, would you be honored by that moment? Or would you be embarrassed and go, "Oh God, I have done anything but emulate your example. I have failed." And this isn't a moment to cause us to feel failure. It's a moment to remind us of the success that we can have if we adopt once again the position of a humble servant, just like our Lord and Savior did. then we can go beyond this and understand that He wants us to serve. It's a priority, it's a decision, it's a sacrifice, but God forbid it be not an act. It is something that God wants us to do for one another. Will you bow your heads with me just for a few moments? I'm going to ask the worship team just stay right where you are. So what's on your plate today? If you're needing something, God is saying, I'm here to serve. I'm here to serve. Everything that you need, if you need forgiveness for your sin, if you need a Lord and Savior, if you need Him to be your God, He's already accomplished that on the cross. He died for your sins today. Confess your sins. Ask Him to be your Lord and Savior. Commit your heart to Him. Believe it in faith. Confess it with your mouth, and He will be your Lord and Savior. If you need a healing in your body, He did that on the cross. The atonement of His blood was shed so that our bodies might be healed, so that our lives, our broken lives, can be put back together. But if today what you're lacking is a purpose in life, then become a humble servant by the example of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Right now, take a little bit of inventory over this last weekend, over this last week, over this last month. When was the last time you have served? When was the last time that you really knew that Jesus would say, that's it, that's the example I set, and I see it in you? God didn't bring us to this moment for condemnation. He brought us to this moment to encourage us. Even knowing what the future holds. Even knowing that all of us would desert Him in the garden. Even knowing that one of us was going to betray Him. Even knowing that Peter, even with his words saying, I will die with you, was going to desert Him. Is this about being perfect? Absolutely not. This is about asking Jesus to give you the encouragement, to give you the motivation, and confessing that I lack a servant's heart, but it's walking out of here with a servant's heart. If you want to be that person, pray this with me. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, with all my heart, I have captured this image that you have given me, this incredible example. And today I pray that you will forgive me when I have been selfish. Forgive me for not seeing the obvious. Forgive me for being too occupied with my own needs. Forgive me for worrying about my schedule. Forgive me for what I thought it would cost me. But this day, I pray, I will make serving a priority. Because of your example and because of your love. In Jesus' name, amen. And you know what? We got 5 minutes. Now, the problem is the first person leaves, we're going to tag you as irrelevant. We're going to say, they don't even care. Look at them. I'm just kidding. I'm trying to lighten the load here a little bit. But I want you to just take a few minutes. I mean, some of you, we have to get you out of here with cattle prods. That's not the one we're after. But you know what? Take a few moments and just meet somebody new before you leave today. Just start right there and see what God can do with it. Amen? God bless you. You are dismissed. Thanks for being here this morning. See you tonight at 6 o'clock for our evening service.